The following is a 1250 WTMA special presentation.
Hey, this is John Quincy with another hour of the History of TMA. Our trip in our way back machine to check out the formats and folks that have been heard right here on Charleston's second oldest radio station, WTMA.
Now let me tell you about Charleston. It's a wonderful place to be. The crossroads of Dixie and the maker of history. Stately, beautiful, big of heart. It's modern, yet it's old. Charleston, Charleston, that's my hometown. Charleston, Charleston, that's my hometown. Ashley River, Cooper too, flow by her side. Fort Sumter National Park is just a short boat ride. Citadel, Battery, and Hampton Park we boast of with great pride. In Charleston, Charleston, that's my hometown. Charleston, Charleston, that's my hometown. Isle of Palms, Folly Beach are not too far away. The Navy, Air Force lend a hand with our progress every day. And WTMA is the modern sound for Charleston, Charleston, and miles around. Charleston, Charleston, that's my hometown.
In 2009, WTMA is celebrating our 70th year on the air. But this hour, we're going to go back to 1999 to hear what it sounded like when we celebrated our 60th anniversary with a live broadcast from the Francis Marion Hotel.
Who's drinking all that Diet Right Cola? Everybody, it's time to play the RC Lucky Listener Contest. Call 723-6692 to play Diet Right Cola's Name It and Claim It.
You remember that?
Oh, I remember Name It and Claim It. You know, I was just talking to someone about that, and that was... not only was it sponsored by them, but also by Crazy Dave of Carolina Music Store,
where you
named the song and you got it.
Name It and Claim It.
Name It and Claim It.
Yeah. Well, that was your voice on the promo.
It was my voice there?
I think it was your voice on the promo, yeah. Yeah, Name It and Claim It.
I knew it was someone who sounded sexy.
722-669-something. You remember the number? You don't remember the number.
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah. At any rate, Name It and Claim It. And you'd give away a prize donated by somebody if you could name the record.
Right,
the song
right.
You was playing.
Usually you won the record. With the drink, you won a six-pack of Diet RC Cola.
RC Cola, yeah.
And then the record besides. We were very generous in those
You didn't
days.
Give away a moon pie with it, too?
No, we didn't do moon pies because he was over at another station. We won't do that.
All right, I want to see if you remember this, Uncle Boo.
Let's talk about what you're about to do. Somebody was just telling me about it because I can't remember. But, you know, you had those people from other radio stations, you know, two guys and a gal, and a guy.
Yeah.
When we did radio, there was only one of us in the studio at a time. And I used to do voices. I don't do them anymore. But people would think we had about five or six people in the studio. We'd have Robert T. Messi, who was the producer of the show.
I remember that name.
It was a Messi production.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and he would come in.
Yeah.
Wait over here. Just come in and say, hi, Poopy, how are you? You know, when he started talking, people really thought he existed, you know? And I would walk away from a three-hour show talking to myself like that. I'd go home and say, how was the show, Robert T.? Well, it was fine, Booby. You really did good, you know? And I'd say, my God, I'm really living this thing. So when we did this series that we're about to listen to, one of them, young Chris was telling me that I did all the... I don't know whether I did the voices or not, but...
Now, it was a... You used to do stories on the...
We used to do stories. We lived in a world of make-believe.
Well, radio's always been that way, if you stop to think about it. You know, to build ratings, I'll never forget. And I still use some of the stuff today that we used 25, 30, 40 years ago. You know, somebody said one time, Dan, if you really want to build your ratings up, tell him you're doing your show naked down there one day. Well, I tried it one day, you know, and people believe me, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, I wasn't completely naked.
Well, you know, you were working at another radio station. When your name would come up, we'd just say, well, he's just another pretty face.
Just another pretty face.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Let's play this for you and see if you remember this. And I guess this would have been back in the late 60s, too, sometime during 60 to 72.
Yeah, from probably 67 to 72, right. 73.
Boobies Mystery. I used to do stories, and he had a series of these that would play on the air. Boobies Mystery Stories. So if we can hit it, let's see if we can bring some memories back. Go ahead and hit it.
It's Uncle Boob, Ghost Chaser. In the first part of this exciting story, Uncle Boob and his Chinese assistant, Lane Wong, traveled to England where they first met an unexplained and dangerous opposition. As we continue...
Uncle Boob, how much farther is it to Glenwood Castle?
Well, according to my calculations, I'd say we're about there. Wow! Can that be Glenwood Castle?
Golly gee, it certainly looks spooky.
Bring my special briefcase in, Lane. How many stories high would you imagine this castle is?
I can't tell. It's too dark.
That door must be 12 feet tall.
Yes, sir.
Is the Duke of Glenwick in?
I beg your pardon, sir. But the Duke has been gone for some 6 years.
Gone? Gone where?
What I mean, sir, is that the Duke passed on some 6 years ago.
What about the letter, Uncle Boob?
Yes. Here. I received this letter just a few days ago.
Impossible.
Do you know the Duke's handwriting?
Certainly. I served the Duke for more than 20 years. And I... Oh, my goodness. It is the Duke's handwriting. Won't you come in, sir?
Is this a practical joke?
I beg your pardon. May I keep this letter?
I'd rather keep it myself.
I see. It looks like a storm is closing in, sir. Now that you're here, why don't you stay the night?
Are you certain you have enough rooms?
At the moment, there are 88 unoccupied rooms.
Golly gee, that's a lot of rooms. It must be hard work to keep them clean.
Not really. You see, I keep all the rooms closed and...
Excuse me, but what are you doing here if the Duke is no longer living?
Well, you see, I'm sort of a caretaker.
What happened to the lights?
Oh, it must have been the storm. The lights fail very frequently during a bad storm.
Take the flashlight out of my emergency briefcase, Lane. Would you show us to our rooms and, Oh, yes, what was your name again?
My name is Graves, sir. Call me Graves.
What kind of adventure has Uncle Boob gotten himself into now? For more, stay tuned to the Uncle Boobinage radio showgram.
You remember all that?
I'm trying to forget.
You did that? You did that?
I did not write that. There wasn't one funny line in the whole thing. It didn't even make any sense to me. That probably wasn't really me. You're putting me on. Where's the hidden camera? Am I on that show where you shock people?
You see this gentleman standing in front of me? You get up to the microphone right there. Get right up. See there? See the microphone? Can you move up to the microphone real quick? Well, I wanted to ask you about this guy used to pipe radio into the rural areas up around, what'd you say, Ware Shoals?
Ware Shoals.
Lived way out. And, of course, how long ago are we talking about?
All of the 30s.
All during the 30s. There was a station up in the Greenville area.
FBC.
Up in Greenville. And way out in the rural areas, they still couldn't get the radio station. Am I right?
Well, outside of the town, nobody had power.
All right, I got you. In other words, outside of the town, nobody had power. So what did you do to get the radio station? You piped, or get up close to me, you piped
We had
what?
Telephone wire
yeah.
on poles. running 7 miles out in the country one way and five another.
Okay.
About four another.
And you used to pipe the audio from the radio station over those lines, or how did that work? Or was it, right?
Yeah.
The radio station, you would send out over the telephone lines? Get up close to the mic there, if you will.
Picked it up from WFBC, right. Greenville, right. South Carolina.
And carried it out over the line. So if they couldn't pick, they didn't have power to listen to radio, but they had telephone lines run out there.
I remember
there, so
telephone
would...
lines.
You remember telephone lines?
I remember those.
They go back a ways, don't they? Yeah. They sure do. Glad you came by this morning.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing it with us. 9:28 in the morning at News Talk TMA. If you'd like to jump on board with us this morning, or Uncle Booby Nash, you still don't remember that story there.
I don't remember that story, but maybe it's because I'm hanging around so many old people today. I'm not used to this. A lot of old people here.
We are at the Francis Marion Hotel. I beg your pardon. Present company accepted, right?
Yes. You're accepted.
Yeah. We're at the Francis Marion Hotel, downtown Charleston, corner of King and Calhoun Street, one of the most famous landmarks, I guess. A quick break, my friend, and back with more. Come on, it's our 60th birthday celebration from the Francis Marion this hour, brought to you by the folks at Comcast at Home, the cable internet revolution. We'll be back right after this.
WTFA Tiger Radio.
More of the replay of our 60th anniversary celebration from 1999 continues next on the History of TMA.
The History of TMA.
We continue with the History of TMA as we remember how WTMA celebrated our 60th birthday on June 15th, 1999.
From the home of the good guys, the mighty TMA, this is the number one sound of the good guy, Jim Diamond Show.
Oh, I remember that well. The home of the good guys. We're still the home of the good guys and the good gals. But we were definitely the home of the good gals back in 1939. Grace, you know, we're talking about 60 years ago.
60 years
ago.
I can't believe it.
I introduced this lady earlier this morning, and if you were not tuned in and didn't hear me talking with her, I thought we'd get her up again. She sang on this radio station, had a weekly show on the station, I understand, back in 1939. This would have been when in 39? We came on the air in June, so I guess we're talking shortly thereafter, after we came on the air?
I think it was in the fall, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. 15-minute radio show that aired once a week. Don't remember the name of the day of the week that it aired. Do you remember what time it came on?
It came on at 8 o'clock from 8 to 8.15 in the evening.
In the evening, mm-hmm. 8 to 8.15. You got to remember a lot of radio programming back in these days, late 30s and 40s, even into the 50s. A lot of it was in 15-minute blocks. A little 15-minute show here at the most, a 30-minute show, but most of it was 15
right.
minutes.
There were only two stations, too, in Charleston at that time.
That's
WCSC and big WTMA.
During this 15-minute radio show that you did in the fall of 1939, on the show, was it just you and the pianist, or was there anything else?
I had
else?
A piano player by the name of Kenneth Dent, who later played for my wedding in 41.
Yeah.
And I had a guitar player named Alec Francis, a nice young man, and that was it.
We had Grace earlier this morning sing a little song for us, but I think everybody got the big kick out of the happy birthday song, and I don't know whether we got a chance to put that on tape, but let's do a little happy birthday one more time and see if we can get it rolling on this one here. Can we do it?
Sure.
To TMA, happy 60th anniversary. Yeah. Let's go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, WTMA. Happy birthday to you. And many more.
Did you, let me think. When you sang on these airwaves 60 years ago, did you think you'd be singing on the airwaves of TMA in 1999? Again, 60 years later that you'd be singing?
I never thought it at all. Never dreamed of it. Although whenever I come to Charleston, which I do quite frequently, I always listen to WTMA.
Oh, man, thank you so much. Grace Fleming, thanks. You're going to be here off and on throughout the day today.
Okay,
we're going to enjoy your pleasure here with us. Thank you. And if we can talk in a second another song, we'll do it later on, too, there.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Grace. You bet. Grace Fleming goes all the way back to 1939. Oh,
can
my
I, can
God.
Can I introduce you to someone, Dan?
Oh, gee, have I got to talk to this guy?
This guy is an... when I say old friend, I mean, you know, we're talking ancient here.
Let me put my teeth in. Wait a minute.
He's another guy who used a phony name on the radio. I can't stand these phony names on the radio, but this guy was known as Jim Diamond. In what years?
You remember what year it was?
Yeah, 63, 64. Yeah. And then I went to Memphis for a year and came back in 66, 67.
Yeah.
That little thing that you had with Booby on the air, of that little show thing, Uncle Boob secret spy,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that was sort of like something that didn't last, but like three episodes and that was it. What I have
Well, no wonder we only have three episodes.
That's right. Yeah. What I have here, Boob, I have a CD audio that I made just for you.
Oh, Lord.
It has all the old TMA jingles. It has your episode. It has an air check on there. And
thank you very much.
And if
look
you want
here.
To, see if look you recognize
here.
This picture.
Yeah, why do I always look like that? Oh, you big bag of doorknobs. Yeah, that was my
Lord,
favorite.
How are you, you bag of doorknobs?
Yeah.
That was his
big banana.
This is a nice T-shirt, and you made these up?
I made that myself. It's a little kid on it.
It's got the, on the front of it, a picture of Uncle Boob, and this would have been taken how long ago?
Around 65?
65.
Something like that.
Came here in 66.
Had to be 66. And he's got a picture of Dick Andert here, who I was just talking about in there. I talk to Dick every once in a while out in California.
These are basically most of the jocks that were there from 63, 64, and 65. Here's Charles Smith right here.
Oh, look here. There's old Chuck.
Yeah,
we met Chuck Smith, who was the owner of TMA back in the 60s. We met his grandson a while ago, and you mentioned he looked a lot like Chuck. And he does, Boob. He looked just like Chuck.
Here's a young guy you might recognize.
Oh, my Lord. There's a picture. There's Charlie Burton.
There's Charlie.
Yeah,
I first met him.
The gentleman we're talking to, Jim Diamond was the name on the air, but also when you...
I was right out of high school, and I'm sitting down, and I'm looking for a show promo. And the guy who hired us all, his name was Bob Mitchell. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody used a different name. Nobody used their own name, you know. And then all of a sudden, I said, what do I use? And he said, well, how about this one right here? I said, what? He said, Jim Diamond. I went, okay. I was 19 years old. What did I know? You know, and then after 2 weeks, they say, here's some money. And you go, I get paid for this, too?
My God.
Wait
a minute, he got paid?
He got paid.
Well,
how did that happen?
Right. $1.25 a week.
Well, let's tell everybody who he is so, the family can
call him Jim Diamond on the air at TMA.
Right.
But,
I sort of sustained that name for a while, and then I got to the point where people would, you know, you'd stop you, and you would talk to them, and they'd say, well, what's your name? Who do you work? Do you have any ID?
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, but it doesn't say Jim Diamond.
Yeah.
So on the air at another radio station, I just killed Jim Diamond.
Yeah.
And I was RJ.
Yeah. RJ Kite.
RJ Kite,
yeah. And you were TMA. And then you came over to QSN.
For a while.
For a while at WQSN.
For 5 years.
Yeah, for 5 years. And that's, I think, that's where I came in contact with you at
QSN. We worked
QSN.
Together. You did the news for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
You made Wayne really look bad. I'll tell you, man. This guy has got news.
Remember Wayne Long? He's talking about Wayne Long. You remember Wayne Long?
Wayne Long, yes.
Yeah. Where is he?
Wayne Long was our newsman there for a long time at old QSN. He was over at TMA for a while.
He started over at TMA.
Eventually wound up as a Congressman Mendel Davis's press secretary, I think.
There was the old studios at TMA.
Now, listen, people have asked me over the years, how long has TMA been there on Orange Grove Road, our studios at number one Orange Grove Road? It's been quite a number of years. Boob, when you were back in the 60s, were we there on Orange Grove Road, or were we down in the...
We were down in the 60s. We were down over the top of Dock Street Theater.
Right.
And maybe Bobby Kite can tell you when we moved. I don't remember when we... They didn't want to tell me they had moved.
Boob,
they wanted
Boob.
Me to still show up at the church. What?
Only my mom calls me Bobby.
Yeah.
I'm RJ.
Mr. Kite.
When did we move the studios? Do you remember, Art, when we moved out to Orange Grove Road?
I think it was probably, when was it, the 70s?
I would think probably early 70s, maybe mid-70s
like
at the latest.
I was someplace else. Yeah. I was doing some other stuff.
But during the 60s, when you came, Boob, we were down at the old Dock Street Theater building, right above the Dock Street Theater. I'll never forget, though, it wasn't the days of TMA, but when TMA was long gone from the Dock Street Theater, there was an FM station that came on the air, and it was WEZL, I think, which at the time stood for Easy Listening. You remember that?
Yep.
Easy Listening. And their studios, they played nice, beautiful music. They were up in the Dock Street Theater. But then later on, they switched to country music, and I had the biggest fun in the world, the most fun. You remember the Dock Street Theater building had those great big windows, that you could open up that opened right out onto the sidewalk almost,
right
above
right.
the entrance to the Dock Street Theater. And I used to get the biggest kick out of it. I'd be working down there in the evening hours playing this country music, and you'd have all of these fancy, you know, kind of uppity, nose up in the air.
Did you do the same thing I did? I opened up the window and shout down at them.
Oh, yeah, I had a ball. We used to open up. We'd see these people, these women in their fancy gowns and the men in their tuxedos, you know, they're coming to a big fancy event at the Dock Street Theater, and here we are playing in the country. And this was back in the days when we played a lot of George Jones and Buck Owens, you know what I mean? And old George, you know, would get to singing, you know, one of his old songs, you know, and had Buck Owens and I Got a Tiger by the Tail and this kind of stuff. And I just opened the window. We had a little portable speaker, you know, that was pretty loud. And I used to put that speaker right up there in the window. And as these people are coming into these fancy ball events here at the Dock Street Theater, I'd be playing old Buck Owens and I Got a Tiger by the Tail or something out there.
You know, one night I hung out the window and sang to the whole crowd, "It's the big boob, it's the big boob to entertain you." And they all looked up and thought I was the weirdest thing on. Hey, I was earning the big bucks then.
Let's see if we can get Doty. I don't know if she wants to share some thoughts with us. You guys stick around here for a minute. Doty, are you there? Good morning. Hey, Doty.
Dottie.
I'm sorry, Dottie.
How are you today? You sound great.
Hey, thank
you're
you.
You're having a good time down there, aren't you?
Well, at a birthday, you're supposed to have a good
That's
time.
That's right. I'd give anything to be down there, but I don't get around good, damn. I want to bring up somebody, and I know that you must remember him, and I keep wondering what could have happened to him. Dub Phillips.
Dottie, we're having good memories. Birthday party, you always have good memories and you share good times. And guess what? Normally at birthday parties, the older you get, you find a lot of old friends that you've developed over the years want to come by and help you celebrate and help you share some good memories. And that's what I've got here with me this morning.
Uh-huh, that's good. I know you've got a whole slew of them there, and that is good. But like I say, I can't get around good enough to get there.
Well,
I wanted to call you.
Well, you did the next best thing. You get us on the telephone.
Do you remember Dub Phillips? You used to play country music. I don't know what
Dub Phillips. You remember Dub Phillips, RJ?
Yep.
Phillips? Yes, sir.
Now, I'd give anything in the world to know what happened to him, if he's still around or, you know, anything.
I don't know.
But I was a country music lover at that time.
Dottie, I'm glad you shared some time with us this morning. Thanks for joining our big birthday celebration.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And
thank you.
And you know I listen to you all the time.
Yeah, thank you very much. This hour of our big celebration brought to you by the folks at Comcast at Home. Great internet connection. Boy, it's fast, folks. It's the new internet revolution. Real quick, you know this guy standing in front of us, RJ? You never met this guy here? Old Jack Kennedy. Golly, he's an old radio guy. He's in the advertising business now. The media advertising business. But by golly, before that, Jack, we were radio guys. You remember those days?
There was another life.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan and I worked together, RJ, in Columbia, originally at COS with Woody Windham.
Mm-hmm.
Who's
yeah.
with the Breeze now.
Yeah.
And
remember Mike Rast?
Mike Rast.
Yeah.
And we had to scream commercials. And
well, you know, back, Danny, I got to take a break, Jack, but back in those days, it was the mighty TMA in Charleston. They
right.
were the king dog here. And in Columbia, it was the big C, WCOS, you know. And
they didn't want to interfere with the Bulldogs.
No.
That's why they came Tiger Radio.
That's exactly
Tiger.
Right. That's
they
exactly
want to be the big
right.
dog. They want yeah. to be the big Tiger.
We, I remember the day, if you remember these days, too, at the old COS in Columbia, this was even prior to 24-hour day radio. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Radio stations used to sign on about 5:30 in the morning and sign off at midnight at night. You actually used to hear the national anthem twice a day on every radio station in the country. You remember those days?
Absolutely.
And I'll never forget when radio stations started staying on the air 24 hours a day. I remember remarking to someone way back when, gosh, we don't hear the national anthem played anymore. You don't hear it. It's gone. As a matter of fact, I'll be willing to bet you that very few radio stations...
Probably Jimi Hendrix would probably yeah. play his version.
Yeah, because it'd be very few radio stations that would have actually
Dan,
a copy
got,
of
you've
it.
Got to take a break. I want to congratulate you. It's been a great experience. And
Jack,
60 more and we'll come back.
Thank you. Jack Kennedy with Pro Media Advertising.
Nice
thanks for coming
you.
By, Jack. You
All
bet.
Right.
It is 9:45 in the morning at News Talk WTMA.
We'll have more of our June 1999 WTMA 60th anniversary broadcast with Dan Moon and other stars from TMA's past, coming up in just minutes.
For more about WTMA's past, surf to WTMAmemories.com for recordings, interviews, pictures, and more. That's WTMAmemories.com. More of the special program, The History of TMA, next.
WTMA Tiger Radio.
for music and news on TMA 1250.
On June 15th, 1939, WTMA signed on the air in Charleston, becoming our city's second radio station. And today, we remain the only AM station with its original call letters, WTMA.
Radio plans told by Scarborough. Exchange ID here, fellow member, proprietor of station WTMA. The letters identifying Charleston's newest radio station, WTMA, were assigned by the Federal Communications Commission and have no local meaning so far as the commission is concerned. But it is possible that station officials may advertise Charleston by employing the slogan, "Where tourists meet always or again." Why Wilcox Scarborough, one of the proprietors, said in an address at the weekly meeting of the Exchange Club yesterday afternoon. Mr. Scarborough, who with Jesse W. Orvin is owner and operator, outlined the two-year effort to bring a second station here. He explained that the most modern broadcasting equipment obtainable has been purchased and installed in a new building in Wagner Terrace, where both studio and transmitting facilities are located. The station officially was open last night when the first program was broadcast from the stage of the Dock Street Theater by remote control. Starting at 7 o'clock this morning, it will be on the air 17 hours daily. 14 persons are employed in the various departments, with each department having its own head, he said.
Right now, let's get back to the replay of our broadcast from 1999 as we celebrated our 60th birthday on June 15th of that year, live from the Francis Marion Hotel.
The action is the mighty TMA's Weekend Sound Spectacular with solid gold good guy, Jim Diamond.
Solid gold good guy, Jim Diamond. Oh, boy, I recognize all those things.
This guy here, he worked for a while, and then he went over to one of the...
What was his name?
Bill Edwards?
Bill Edwards.
Yeah,
Evans?
And he started working in the sports department over there.
Oh, yeah.
So might say that virtually every large power voice in Charleston started at TMA.
You know, you're absolutely right.
And then they went to other things. No, nope, not necessarily better.
We all remember 1956, guys, right?
What year was that?
56. This gentleman standing up here at the mic in front of me, Dr. King. What's your first name, Doctor?
Charlie.
Charlie King. Now, he is brought by a classic 1956, T-Bird. What am I thinking? Yeah, T-Bird convertible, solid red. Got it parked. Is it parked right out front?
Yes, sir.
Francis Marion under.
Yep.
And there's one other one. You brought another one down, too. What's the other vehicle?
I'll be a 53 Morgan, which is the same as the old 37 to 53. They're all the same. And I'll be bringing that in about 10 minutes.
Oh, man, yeah. If you're a classic car buff and you remember the magic 50s, and 56 was a good year for me and for a lot of other people there. Come by and check out Dr. King's 56 T-Bird convertible. Red, beautiful. It's good shape, I'll bet you.
56, yes.
Yeah.
56, yeah, 56 was a great year because the 55, 6, and 7 were the classics.
Well, I want to thank you for bringing this car by, and you'll have a 53 Morgan down here shortly.
Right.
So if you remember those years well with fond memories, do they make cars today, Dr. King, like they used to? Do they make them today like they used to?
Well, not really.
Is it good?
Is it good or bad? Handmade and whatever, yes.
But is it better today, you think?
I think, well, today the cars are more comfortable. As far as I'm concerned, they're more stable, they're safer, all kinds of things. If you drive in this car, you'll notice the difference right away from 56 to a 99.
I'm going to sneak down here in a minute and take a look at this thing. It's parked right out front on the King Street side here at the Francis Marion Hotel. You can't miss it. Big, bright, beautiful red T-Bird convertible. Thank you very much, Dr. King. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Dan, you think you can tell me what was number one record in 1967 at WTMA?
All right, wait a minute.
I'll give you a small hint.
The number one song in 1957.
67.
In 67.
Yeah, only 32 years ago.
All right, this would be for the week ending October the 14th.
That's right.
1967.
Son of a gun.
Number one song on WTMA.
Got a mind like a computer.
All right, we'll see if somebody can figure it out. If you think you remember what the number one song the week of October 14th, 1967, on the WTMA Tune Dex would have been, give us a call. 556-1250 locally, 800-737-1250 toll-free, or star 1250 on a cell phone. I'm Dan Boone.
Can grown-ups remember? Every little bit hurts.
9:53 in the morning, 7 before the top of the hour. News Talk WTMA. Real quick, let me get this gentleman up here. Come on over, come on over, come on over. Tell me what your first name is. What is your whole name?
Jim.
Jim, go and give me your whole name. Your whole
Jim
name.
Langdo.
Jim Langdo. Now, Jim worked at TMA in what years, Jim?
That was 1960,
61,
thereabouts.
60 or 1961. So that would have been even before you came
just
on board.
Just a couple of years.
Yeah, a couple of years before
RG. SBC is just about everybody here. Yeah.
Now, tell me what you did on TMA.
At the time when I first got there, I did a show up at the Target Drive-In.
You remember? Yeah. The
yes. I got a story about that, too.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell the story. Yeah. Don't do the story.
You're talking about the glass booth upstairs.
Yep, that's the
yes,
one.
That
yeah.
one.
Okay. And I used to have a little thing. I drove a little sports car, and I had a little thing about let the sunlight sparkle on your wire wheels or something like that.
I remember you.
You remember? Right. Yeah.
I was in high school then.
Yeah.
I came right out of high school into radio with Bob Mitchell hired me.
Right.
Yeah. Lonnie Mathern. Yeah.
So see, that's a name that I hadn't heard in years.
Hey, how you doing?
Jim Langdo, right?
Langdo,
Jim Langdo.
Right.
Jim
and,
Langdo.
That was your real name?
That was it.
Wow.
I wasn't smart enough.
That was a great name for radio.
People use their real names.
Yeah.
Anyway, then I got moved to the premiere spot, which was the afternoon deal.
Yeah.
And Bill Walton was the program director.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he let me have his slot in the
how
afternoon.
How about that?
Oh, that's good. That was good living.
That was afternoon drive time.
Yeah.
That was heavy responsibility.
Yep. And Red Evans came aboard about that time, and he took over my slot up at the Target.
Yeah. I'll be darned.
Mr. Easy Going.
You know, people have asked me about that over the years. I'm glad you came down, Jim, because people have said, didn't TMA one time used to broadcast from the old Target drive-in? And I said, yeah, who did that? And I said, I don't know.
It was,
so now
it was a
we
weekend
know.
Thing. Every weekend, a different jock had to broadcast.
No, this was I had every night.
Yeah.
How about that?
Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that was big time.
It was six or seven nights a week.
When I finished,
yeah.
I think it was at 1 o'clock or 12 or whatever it was. Then I had to drive all the way down and put my records away.
Oh, gosh, I remember those days. I did the same thing, Jim, up in Columbia, on old WCOS up there in Columbia. Boy, I'm glad you came by this morning. Thank you very much for
I think the only
by.
Difference we had back then when we had to do it is that they played all the music at the studio. All we had was a mic.
Oh,
that's all
really?
We had was a mic. Yeah. And one particular time, I'm leaning back.
At least somebody put them away for you.
Oh, yeah, well, sure. And I was leaning back in the chair doing the thing, and all of a sudden I went backwards, and my feet went up, and everything went all over the place, and I'm laying on the ground, and all of a sudden I'm thinking no one's hearing me, and I just shut out this huge obscenity. Back then, if you said something like that, it was immediate capital punishment. They couldn't get you, strapped you in your chair, and that was it. You died,
really
you know.
Cut off some parts.
Right, and I'm putting everything back. I'm taking the mic and putting it next to the radio, and all of a sudden I hear this familiar sound that all engineers hear. You know?
Yeah.
I go, oh, Lord. So I had to end up saying, we're going to dedicate that last song out to two guys I hadn't seen for years, Sonny and Mitch. When I saw them, I just yelled out their names. Sonny and Mitch, I haven't seen you guys for years.
There's more of our 1999 60th birthday celebration coming up next on the History of TMA. This is John Quincy.
Now, the History of TMA continues. Once again, John Quincy.
The day was June 15th, 1999, exactly 60 years to the day that WTMA officially signed on the air for the first time. And the station was celebrating the occasion with a live birthday broadcast from the site of one of its first studios, the Francis Marion Hotel.
From WTMA, Charleston, South Carolina, this is Action Central News.
Good afternoon. This is a TMA First News Update. I'm Mac Thompson on News Talk 1250 WTMA. Who's that voice on the radio? All day here on WTMA, you may be hearing a familiar voice you haven't heard in a long time. TMA's Robert Allen reports on our 60th birthday party.
Street level temperature 78 degrees this morning on the sidewalk at 72. All right.
That's the legendary Booby Nash making his return to WTMA for our 60th anniversary celebration. It was back on June 15th, 1939 that TMA first went on the air. Nash joined Dan Moon this morning and spoke about his days in the 60s playing rock and roll on WTMA.
We tried to squeeze 40 songs in 1 hour.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. We played the same 40 songs over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And until they drove you right out of your ever-loving mind. But that's how you made songs popular then.
Robert Allen, TMA First News.
You can help us celebrate at the Westin Francis Marion Hotel on King Street downtown today. The party lasts until 6 tonight, so please come out and join us.
WTMA, Tiger Radio.
Good afternoon. I'm Nancy Wolf. This is News Talk 1250 WTMA. We're broadcasting live out at the Francis Marion Hotel. There's a good picture here of Steve Russell. Steve Russell used to be on the air here at WTMA. He's still with Charleston Radio. And Keith Nichols. They're standing out on the beach, and it's that hippie look. And they're over those big WTMA letters. Madeline, did we get those for today, or are those the actual letters right here? Because this is some cool stuff.
Those are not the letters from the album right there. Those letters were in front of the TMA station way back. I don't
really
know. Maybe Booby would know.
Hey, what Booby have we been doing with those?
Yeah, dude, sure, I know everything. Just ask me anything.
We found them in the attic at the radio station. When
the
were
WTMA
those
letters?
What letters?
The letters right here.
The WTMA. They were put on the building when we moved out to Orange Grove Road.
And we found them in the attic, had to clean them up, and they look good here.
There's an attic at WTMA?
And yeah, you don't want to go up there.
And I'm proud of you all. You spelled it right. WTMA. Yeah, you got that right.
Joining me now is Grace Fleming. Grace, thank you so much. You flew in just for today.
Well, I did. I flew into Columbia Saturday. I have two daughters live in Columbia, and the one brought me down today to enjoy all the celebration. And I've been looking forward to this, and I'm so glad I came.
Grace lives in Cincinnati, and she realizes that today is such an important day in Charleston's history that she flew all the way here to Charleston. Grace, you were on the air back in 1939.
That's right.
Tell us about your show.
Well, I had a 15-minute radio show. I had a piano player and a guitar player. And at that time, all the big band music was popular. And those were the songs that we sang and played for 15 minutes from 8 to 8:15 in the evening.
Every day? Every evening?
No, once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the show was done here in the Francis Marion Hotel.
Really? That is wonderful. And you would sing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you like to belt one for us right now?
Oh, it's not too good without a little accompaniment.
I'll hum.
You'll hum? You're too young to even know the songs. I think that we did.
Well, my mom and dad played all sorts of great songs around the house when I was growing up.
Oh, good.
I wouldn't know one if you named it, but maybe if you started singing, I might recognize it.
Well, there was one that was very popular. I'll just do a couple of lines of it. You might know it. Goody, goody. You remember that?
I don't know.
So you met someone who set you back on your heels.
Goody, goody, that's right.
So
yeah, my mom used to sing that.
Someone, and now you know how it feels.
Goody, goody.
So those were the kind of
songs. Are you surprised that my mom would sing that
that's
all the
great
time? Teresa Lures.
See? Yeah.
She's listening to us right now.
Good. Well, I wish she was here. She could sing along with me.
So, Grace, you had this radio show in 1939. Mm-hmm. You'd go on for 15 minutes one night a week. What night of the week was it? Was it Sunday? Do you remember?
I can't remember. As my friends say, that's the senior moment right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
How'd you get involved in radio?
Well, I used to sing with John Skura's band, who was a local band here in Charleston. We played for dances, different things. And then I sang over at the Isle of Palms Pavilion, the old pavilion that they had at the time, and out at the Folly Beach Pier, the wooden pier out there. And I've always sung. Then after I left Charleston and went to Cincinnati in 41, my singing turned more to choir singing and raising the kids and teaching them the songs.
Mm-hmm. Is this the first time you've been back to Charleston in a while?
No, I come at least two or three times a year. The whole city of Charleston is just one fabulous place.
Isn't it? And have you had a chance to look at some of these photos around the room?
Oh, yes. And they bring back many, many memories.
Well, Grace, I'm glad you could come for this. Are you going to be here later in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Throughout the day?
Yeah, I'm going to spend the day here.
And that's right. Well, she's... Grace Fleming broadcasted in 1939, and you did the show. The show originated from the Francis Marion.
Right.
Did you have an audience, or?
No audience.
Was there kind of a setting, like a studio? Now we have studios.
Just a studio, that was it, with the piano in it. And Alec Francis, who's my guitarist, brought his guitar, and that was it. It was a very simple thing, but of course, I thought I was big stuff at the time.
Yeah, well, you were.
And it was, you know, at 18, you just think you're on top of the world, and I was.
Hey, how you doing? How are you? Well, Grace, I want to thank you very much for stopping by and come back while I'm doing my show, okay?
Thank you for having me. I surely will.
All right.
I'll see you later.
And now we're going to talk to Francis Brenner. And Francis broadcasted live here on WTMA in 1949 to 1950. And Francis, now I have to let you know, I was not yet, my parents hadn't even thought of me in 1949. I just want to let you know that. But tell me about your show back in 1949.
Well, I'm 86 years old. That's a little on in age. And of course, we've been doing some research on a book that's going to come out, and it's called The Old Codger's Charleston Address Book. And it's going through Charleston street by street,
mm-hmm.
address by address, and many WTMA stories came to mind in the 30s and 40s. And I guess you might like to hear about it.
Sure, I would love to hear. The Old Codger's Address Book?
The Old Codger's Charleston Address Book.
Okay.
And of course, in that day, radio was really something different from what it is to now. Robert Bradham was manager of WTMA in the 40s, and Bob started the Azalea Festival. But he was a moving spirit in WTMA. And anything that happened in the city, TMA had it. He was a promoter from way back, and he took over as manager when the newspaper owned WTMA,
mm-hmm.
the News and Courier. It was originally owned by the Atlantic Coast Life Insurance Company, which I guess somebody has certainly brought out since you started your program. The offices were in the Dock Street Theater, where we had a very neat little one, probably 10 by 10 studio upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and we had to be very careful when we went in there. He had a staff of people that were really in the know in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia Rett, I don't know whether you all knew that, but Alicia Rett had a program on every morning, 5 days a week, with recipes that were sent in to the station that Mr. Bradham put the show together. This was his secretary. I don't know where, and nobody seemed to know who Alicia Rett was. She played India Wilkes in Gone with the Wind. She's a little Charleston girl. She's still alive. She lives down on Trad Street. Kay Martin was my director of political meetings, and she'd cover all the different meetings that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Smith was the engineer, and he married a little girl, Louise Moseman, who worked there as a secretary, and there's a bookkeeper at WTMA. Judy Wilson was another artist who came along. June Cuthbert was a big wheel. I think he's still alive in Somerville. He was the in charge of sales. But Bill Abbott with his orchestra played on Folly Beach. We went down there and had a party down there on the weekends at Folly Beach. So WTMA, of course, it was right on top.
Okay, Francis, we're going to have to finish that when we come back. I'm Nancy Wolfe, broadcasting live at the Francis Marion Hotel on the corners of King and Calhoun Streets. We'll be here until 6 o'clock today. Stop by, register to win all sorts of great prizes. Take a look at some of the photos from the past. And, of course, meet WTMA personalities from 1939. Right now, I'm talking to Francis Brenner. I'll be right back. I'm Nancy Wolfe.
Coming up next, there's another hour of WTMA's 1999 60th anniversary celebration from the Francis Marion Hotel as we roll on with the history of TMA. I'm John Quincy, thanking you for listening. And if you'd like to know more about WTMA's legacy, surf to WTMAmemories.com. You'll be able to download rare audio broadcasts, just like the one we've heard this past hour. See photos of past WTMA air personalities, read stories, and lots more. Once again, that's WTMAmemories.com. and keep it right here on the radio station that continues to make history, as well as report it. 1250 WTMA.